welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
What I wanted to kind of share just for some minutes, and then I believe as we kind of hear the word, and the word of God is going to stir our spirit. Man, I'm getting so agitated, so frustrated, as I know many people are, because I'm perceiving that God is giving us an invitation, and I want to extend that invitation to everybody today, and if it goes on a keynote, everybody listening. And that is that the best thing that we can do today is strengthen ourselves in the Lord. The greatest attribute that society has, and most of them at the moment don't realize they have it, is there is a wonderful God who can redeem and restore and bring back everything that's missing. And we're just going to look at a little scripture. I shared some of this in our service at Worthing on Sunday night, and I called it, "It's love that conquers everything." And I just want to reinforce, and I believe God wants to reinforce in our hearts today, that the love of God is so passionate towards you that it's prepared to change you beyond description and change you beyond compare. Is that okay? And we're going to look at one piece of the Bible. It's possibly one that we haven't read too much. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And as I was kind of thinking and praying about this to kind of hear, okay, God, what you're saying, I felt God say, actually, I don't just want to use the obvious examples of what strengthening in the Lord looks like. And, you know, we can look at Jesus, and he was our example of how someone lives in society out of the strength of God. And Jesus said, how he lived, we can live. So it inspires me. So here's the first thing to write down. Some of you might have heard this before. But where there's passion, you don't need motivation. Where there's a desire, you don't need command. Where there's a longing, you don't need to be poked with a stick. So part of this morning is to help us to cultivate longing, to cultivate desire, and to move in passion. Everybody in this room and everybody in society was built to have a passion. But as we look at this, that passion must be primarily focused at who is Jesus, and I want to know him. And we find in this piece of the Bible, you know, David is arising, he's beginning to shine, he's following God, and God's kind of promoting him, which just reinforces this tremendous principle that to be strong in the Lord does not mean that we're strong in ourselves. Be strong in the Lord doesn't mean we're looking for some royal position. You're given one when you give your life to Jesus. We live from position, not for position. So strengthening ourselves in the Lord is not because we're weak and hopeless. It's because he is strong and mighty and wants to live in us and through us. But this story, I'm not going to read all of the first four or five verses, but the gist of it is this. David is beginning to be successful. The presence of the Lord is on him. He's beginning to see all kinds of extraordinary relationships and geographical areas and all kinds of things happen. And then suddenly he hits a crisis point. And the enemy, being the enemy, uses relationship and friendship and those that he loves, and he steals them all. Wives, daughters, family, friends, resources, materials. Everything that was of value to David was stolen. Now there's a parallel here, isn't there? Because today, everything that is invaluable to God, that God wants to give you, if we're not careful, someone's going to try and steal it. Someone's going to try and rob it from you. Someone's going to try and borrow it, but with no intention of letting you have it back. Let me just tell you today that God wants to prevent the robber, and he has done that. He wants to prevent the one that's stealing, and he has done that. And he wants us to live in God's best, not in God's least. So God's analysis of this is, okay, there's all kinds of things happen. There's a crisis. Something's happened in my heart. There is a weeping. There's a mourning. There's a sense of loss. But God's got an answer. God's got a resolution, and it's himself. And it's true today for you. If this is your situation, this is true for you, as it was for David. It says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed because even some of his own men were talking a stone in him. Let me tell you that today, sometimes when we're doing through stuff, it makes us respond to people that we love in a wrong kind of way. Sometimes we just get frustrated, agitated. Sometimes we just build ourselves up so much. How can I make this issue go away that we begin to become the strength in the room and not Jesus? And anger is not a strong thing, it's a weak thing. Anger's not a strength, it's a weakness. It's a strength of soul, but it's a weakness in our spirit. Your spirit doesn't get angry. Do you understand that? And we find here there was distress, there was this sense of loss, but even amongst his people group. Remember, these were blokes, probably women as well, it doesn't say, but these were certainly blokes who were all dis something. They were distressed or they were discontent, and they all met David in a cave outside of town. And because of David's heart and David's love for them, he transformed all this group of idiots into the greatest fighting force known in the earth at this time. Why? Because their master, their chief of chief, their commander of commanders was God himself. This helps us to realize that today, if God is for you. Now, can I just suggest if you know Jesus, you can take the if away. God is for you. Woohoo! Which means it's inevitable. We will end up on the top. Finland is on it. You will end up a winner. But sometimes to get to be a winner, we have to go through a bit of whining. Or maybe that's just me. But here we find that there's a bit of an issue. Because the men were talking of stoning, each one was bitter in spirit because their sons and daughters. Man, they're gone. They've been stolen. I don't know. Maybe some of you experienced this. Some of you experienced something like this. Some of you hope you never do. Some of you forgetting when you have. All I know is that the answer is the next verse. But David found strength in the Lord. What does this mean? It means whatever's going on, whether it's just a bump in our journey, or whether it's just a crisis point, or whether it's just I have no idea where we're going, all I know is we've got to get to verse 6. So today this keynote is about the power of verse 6. Because verse 6 means that a man who knew he had nothing, he had no ability, he could do nothing positionally to change anything, knew where to go to get the answer. And it was God. Now you might think, oh, well, that's really obvious. It's only obvious when we're doing it and tell others about it. It's not obvious when we're not doing it, but no, we should. Actually, if we say it's obvious and we're not doing it, it's oblivious. It's not obvious. God doesn't strengthen us because we know what we should do. God strengthens us when we do what we know we should do. So David has some options here. He could just pull out the I'm in charge card. He could pull out, well, you know, I'm David and, you know, I know Jesus card. He could pull out, well, you know, you don't know who I am. He didn't pull any of those things out, the hat. What he pulled out of his hat was his heart. What he pulled out of his relationship with everybody was, I need God in a new way. I need God in a new way. Now, this is brilliant. Because it then goes on, verse 7, he brought this geezer, it's not Avatar, all right, it's not Avatar, that's not a little blue person, it's Abiathar, the priest. Bring me the ephod. So even though David was distressed, even though David was in bitterness probably, even though David was on the other end of people's resentment, he didn't cheat the principles of God. He never approached God in a wrong way. There's another lesson for us. There is a way to approach God with faith, with a sincere heart, with a confidence. Woohoo! We have to apply the ephod of our life. It covers our heart, demonstrates who we are in Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! You are now a priest and a king. There's access for you and for me into the very presence of God himself. Thank you, Jesus. I like this little bit of the story. And David inquired of the Lord. This is brilliant. God is so intent on you and on me and on people that he's waiting for you to inquire of him. God is so set in his will and in his way to be the restorer, the reconciler, and the redeemer that he's just waiting for you to approach and say, Lord, do something. I love this couple of verses because nowhere in here does God say, David, you're an idiot. You deserve this. Get a grip. Nowhere did God say, oh, well, what do you expect? You know, you thought this or you thought that. It's That's not what God said. Again, I just want to encourage you with this, is that God will never turn his back on those who turn their face to him. Just not possible. It's just not going to happen. God will not turn his back on anyone who turns his face to him. This is why the Bible uses this word repentance. What does that mean? I'm turning my face away from the world and I'm going to turn it to God. I know he's there somewhere. And as soon as anybody does that, God's face is there. God's presence is there. God's heart is there. Was that your experience? If it wasn't, it's still true. But when we turn to the Lord, the Bible says he is there. And I just love this example. This is before Jesus came to earth, but this was a demonstration of someone who had a heart after God. That's why God chose David. He looks across the whole of society and picked David out. Why? Because he knew in the depths of debts, David knew who to go to. I believe he knows that is true for you too. Three of you get that, the rest of you are not sure. Because I believe God has picked people like you because of exactly the same reason. Why is that important? Because the Bible says deep calls unto deep. Yeah. There are longings that you have. There are things that you need to know answers to. There are things I need to know answers to. I haven't even uttered them yet, but God knows them. There are things I'm trying to work out, things that I'm trying to get God to work in. There are things that I'm just trying to understand, and I don't even understand what I don't understand. But God does. Come on, it's not just me. It can't be. I just don't know what it is that I don't know. I sounded a bit like an American senator then. I really apologize. I just don't know. All I know is that God knows me enough. God knows you enough to know as soon as I've even got the word out of my mouth, it's come through my head, it's come out of my heart, and God is there before I finish the sentence. That's why it goes on and says this. I like this. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Before it even got to them, God says, pursue them. There's not another chapter. There's not another verse written between that. God is just on it. He says, yeah, chase after them. He said, not only will you chase after them, you will certainly, which is half of faith, right? Yeah. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure and certain. There's faith coming from God. Every time you or I turn our face to God and say, God, I need some help, faith will come back at you. Every time you or I come out of crisis, come out of critical mass, come out of something, and we approach God with a confidence, I know you're there, God, what you'll get back is faith. But not your faith, God's faith. Why do we know that this is true? Because the Bible says even when we're faithless, God is faithful. Now, how many of you know that there is a massive difference between being less and being full? Yes. You work that one out, right? Even in translating it into whatever language you speak, Essex, Serbo, Croat, Welsh, I don't know what it is. But there's a massive difference between less and being full. What does this mean to us? It means however full we perceive we are, man, God wants to fill us up. God doesn't want us living on empty. God didn't want David just to have a hope. He wanted it to be sure. He wanted it. Yeah, you're going to overtake these guys and succeed. Now, succeed is not something that budgies do. That was just for Pastor Gary because he loves budgies. But we're going to succeed when we, in the middle of our crisis, when we're in the middle of our catastrophes, when the whole world seems to be going peat-hang, right in the center of that, God's word over you is, you're going to succeed. That messes with your brain. It just messes with your wiring. Because it's like, God, really? Yes, really. You're going to see that healing. You're going to see that person come to Jesus. You're going to see that family member restored. You're going to see what has been stolen restored. You're going to see what you think was lost put back better than it was before. That's why I love this story. You're going to succeed. Does it make us a successor? No. It means that we know one. Jesus, the undefeated champion of the world. So in verse 9, David and 600 men with him came to the ravine where some stayed behind. In our journeys, and you've probably realized this and experienced this as well, is that sometimes when we give our lives to Jesus and we journey through life and you know we're meeting with God and we're seeking to do what God asks us to do, we're asking for help to do that because we can't even do what God wants us to do without his help to do it, right? I mean, our part is really small. All we do is inquire. God tells us what's to do and then gives us the grace to do what he's told us to do. And then when we've mucked it up, which sometimes we do, he's still there to say, okay, let's have another go. So our contribution is zero. His contribution is one. Which is extraordinary. We can put as many zeros on the end as you like, you understand that? It doesn't matter what we think about us, it's what we know about him that makes the difference. David and 600 men went with him to the ravine where some stayed. But sometimes on our journey through our faith, just through how we pray, how we live, how we seek to live for Jesus, how we seek to live in this kind of state of being holy because God has made us holy, if some people will stay behind. Sometimes friendships get mucked around a bit. Sometimes relationships get upset a little bit. Sometimes people who were for us then are less for us now, and then sometimes they're behind us. That's life. But there's a tremendous purpose even in this, and we'll read it in a moment. For 200 men who were too exhausted to cross the ravine, David and four. So there were some people, man, they were just tired. They're just weary. They've just been pushing hard. They've been praying. They've been doing whatever they were doing at this time, but they were just tired. Being tired does not exclude you from salvation. Being weary does not mean God doesn't love you anymore. Come on. It only means that if you earned your salvation in the first place. And nobody in this room did. It was earned for us by a God who never grows tired or weary, my Bible tells me. So even though I grow weary, I'm still connected to a God who never does. He doesn't have half days. He doesn't work overtime. He's God all the time. He doesn't have days in lieu or in the loo. He's not like Saul. Had to go to the toilet and found a king. Anyway, that's another story. But you understand what I mean. Maybe don't. It's in the Bible. Verse 11 happens. This is quite interesting. I've discovered. They found an Egyptian. Ought like an Egyptian. Anybody want to have a go at that? Part of our issue is we're used to a really authoritative, fairly serious keynote, and now you've got me. I'm really sorry. Actually, I'm not. I'm here because I've been asked to be here. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. Now, in their culture, the first thing that should have happened is when they saw this Egyptian, good night, Vienna. Let me tell you, when you start strengthening yourselves in God, it takes your prejudice away. When you begin to find that Jesus is the Lord of all, it takes your preferences out. When you begin to encourage yourself in God on your own and with others, the people that you thought you hated once, you love today. It messes with your emotional wiring. People who weren't like us, don't sound like us, don't look like us, don't come from our background. Man, God's got a destiny for them too. They might be lost in a field, but at least you've got God when you go in your field. So part of this restorative plan isn't just for David's people, it's for people. David and 400 and of his men continued to pursue. They found this Egyptian, they began to feed him, they began to serve him. Why? Because when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, his strength of generosity, grace, kindness begins to flow through us in a brand new way. You can't strengthen yourself in God and then leave without some of God in you more than you had before. God isn't interested in building up the size of our biceps, but the size of this great muscle called the heart. We don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, thank God. The whole idea is that we look and sound and live much more like Jesus.
He hadn't eaten for days, this Egyptian. David said to him, "To whom do you belong and where do you come from?" Good questions. Finding out where he's at, who's he's got, where's his fellowship group, where's his friendship group, where's his family. He says, "I'm an Egyptian, but I was abandoned." Sometimes when we're going through crisis, when the critical mass in our heart begins to try and tell us that things are going down, is that we can feel abandoned. God doesn't abandon anybody. It's not within his nature. It's not within his DNA. It's not within his destiny for you and for me. It's not within his purpose for you and me. In fact, God aligns himself with those who are abandoned. But after all, Jesus was left at church one morning. His parents forgot where he was. He was only 12, bless him. And they went round the whole town. "Where's our son? Where's our son?" And then some bright spark asked a good question. "Where was the last place you know you had him?" They went back, and there he was at church, bringing the message. I don't think Jesus lost sleep or thought he was abandoned, because he knew the love of God in his own heart. And sometimes it can feel like, when stuff isn't going the way, I believed it was going up, but it seems to be going down. The one thing that is the pivotal is the fact that Jesus will not leave you, neither will he forsake you. Don't measure your position with Jesus based on what's happening around you, but what's happening in you. Christ in you. Not just what Christ does around you. Verse 14, we raided in the Negev, and this is this Egyptian, and then David said, "Can you lead me down?" Sometimes in our journey and how we strengthen the Lord, people that we perceive to be against us, actually they are for us. They just didn't know how to say it. And I know in my own experience is that, you know, I'm seen in my family. I'm the youngest of four. I'm probably the best looking of four. I don't know. Maybe that's you. Hello. All I know is that I'm referred to as the white sheep of our family. Again, in English, if you're a little bit of a rebel, and I was, then quite often you're referred to as the black sheep. I don't know whether it's the colour, but I like to be called a sheep. I don't really care what colour it is. As long as I'm seen as a sheep, not a goat, then I'm very happy with that. However, what the rest of my flock, if I can call them that, don't know, is that I'm praying for them and give their lives to Jesus. And I know that, like David began to realise, God will overtake them and God will succeed. And maybe that's a word of encouragement for some of you. Hopefully it is. So this Egyptian said, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me." That's quite a good request, bearing in mind that they were enemies. When we begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord, when we begin to strengthen ourselves in God, it changes how we have friendships in the future. Because actually the best friendships that I've found are not people that are just going to come up and say, "Hey, that was great, well done." They're people who are there when it's not going very well saying, "Come on, let's pray. Let's encourage ourselves in God. Let's strengthen ourselves in the Word." They're not just going to come up and flatter. I don't want people around me like that just come up and say, "Oh, that was great," when I know it was rubbish. I want people to come with truth spoken in love saying, "Come on, let's find God in this. Let's pray. Let's just think. I just want to..." Do you understand that? Which is why here, culturally, in this church, and maybe we're not as good at this as we need to be, but we're really trying to be, is that, man, when you're encouraging someone, use lots of words. If you've got to critique people, don't use very many. Because culturally, we do it round the other way round sometimes. Is we can give you 10 lines when we think you're rubbish, and only one word when we think you're great. Let's turn that around a little bit, shall we? Because there's a good example here. You see, when God speaks, there's faith in it, but I'll tell you, every word, it's like a choice morsel, the Bible says. It's like gold. And sometimes when things aren't going that well, you just need one word. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Where are we now? 16. He led David down and they were there. All these enemies were scattered over the countryside. Here for me is a slightly wider setting of this scripture. What I mean by this, what God spoke to me about this, is that sometimes we can get so caught up with how well we're doing or not, or how successful we think we're doing or not, and all that's rubbish anyway. is that we forget that there's a whole countryside out of there that have no option. They're just making the best of what they can do with what they know how and who they know how. So part of this whole dynamic of us, David's example of strengthening ourselves in the Lord, is not just so that David became strong and his people became strong in that same experience, but also the people in the land did. Because these guys were getting pillaged, they were getting abused, they were getting killed, they were getting stolen, they were getting destroyed, they were getting beaten up by people who shouldn't have been there. They were losing their possessions, they were losing their heritage, they were losing their futures, they were losing their lives by people who had no right to be there. In some sense, that has not changed. And you will know people that just don't know Jesus yet, or they're just not following in God's best yet. The same thing's happening with them as is happening here, which is why the answer is the same. It's you. It's you. You're the answer. In the sense that God has made you the answer. God strengthens you. He speaks to you. He meets with you. He encourages you. Then he sends you on a mission which you will succeed in by the grace of God. It's to overtake the enemy, to be part of the redemptive plan of God here on earth. That's what we're here for. David fought them from dusk until evening. Let me tell you something about God's love. It fights for those who can't fight for themselves. It will make you, make me, cause us, move us, the Bible says. Man, we'll fight for people we've never met. We'll fight for people that we don't even like. We'll fight for people that have upset us. Why? Because we know that God has a resolution for it. You'll know people like that, and you certainly don't know people, but they're still like that. So part of us strengthening ourselves in the Lord is so that we become like mighty men and women. In the world, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the church, we become those mighty men and women in God who go into a land that's being pillaged. Why? To redeem it for Jesus. To see people set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm enjoying this. I may never ever do it again. I really don't mind. I'm just making the most of it today. David thought then from dusk until evening. What does that mean? It means that our days, as we encourage ourselves in God and strengthen ourselves in God, our days mean less to us and more to God than they used to. I need a break. No, you need a breakthrough. I need a rest. No, you are at rest. I need a day off. Pick a day. Tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Do you understand that? There is something that happens when we begin to live out of the strength of God. And of course there are times of rest, and of course there are times to get refreshed. Pastor Connie's taking one of those now. But I can guess what he's doing already. I bet he's up just receiving strength from God. Yep. He's not just lying in bed all day thinking nursery rhyme. Well, he wouldn't be doing that anyway, would he? He's just not lying in bed doing nothing. He's strengthening himself in the Lord. In fact, I know he is because I already texted him. I know he's doing that. He's not just taking time out, he's taking time in. And I love the byproduct and the outcome of all of this. Verse 18, David recovered everything. Just say everything.
Everything.
Does that leave anything outside?
No.
Does that leave anyone outside?
No.
Everything was recovered. Verse 19, nothing was missing. Now, it doesn't mean that there was a thing called nothing and I couldn't find it. Now, where's that nothing gone? Ooh, did you hide it? It meant that every person, every resource, every relationship, every connection, every destiny, every heritage, every future, the whole lot was redeemed. Even the land. Woohoo! Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl. I think that just about covers everything. Unless we are neither of those, in which case you really need redeeming. David brought everything back. What does that mean? Well, to me, it meant that David brought everything back to God's reward table, if you like. He didn't just bring it back from point A to point B. He brought it back and said, God, look what you've done. God, look what you've accomplished. God, look at what you've been successful in. God, look what you have put in place. Look at all these people that you've restored. That's what I think it means. You might have a different view. Bless you on your view, but this is mine. Then David came to the 200 men who had been exhausted. Remember these guys, they were just worn out. They'd done as much as they could. But I'll tell you what, David even restored them. They weren't left out at all. Why? Because we're all in it to win it. We're all in it. If you're a Christian, you're in it to win it. You might fail a little bit and you might get a bit weary, but let me tell you, the life is in the body. You might get a bit weary, we're just holding on to faith, but let me tell you, Jesus is the one we're holding on to. You might just say, oh, when is this day going to change? I have no idea, but usually we change and then the day changes. I have found that much out. When's it all going to go the way you said? When we do the last thing he said. When's it going to be according to your promise? When we start saying yes instead of no, maybe. I have no idea, okay? I'm not having to go at anybody. All I know is that God only says yes when we're obedient. Remember David's beginning. David took the way of obedience. You can't approach God without an ethod. Seems a little simple thing. Everything that God tells us to do is really simple if we love him. The Bible says his commands are not a burden. If they are, maybe we just need to strengthen ourselves in love in that area for God. I have no idea. All I know is that the message, the keynote today is God is available to you. He's available to me to be strengthened in. It doesn't just mean that we become strong in our soul, but we become strong in our spirit, man. All I know is that whoever in this room, whoever it is listening on this message later, whoever it is that calls upon the Lord, he is there. And he's not there to say, leave it out. He's there to say, what can I do? All I know is that whether it's just my own world that's been influenced or it's the world that I'm in and around me that is, God has a redemptive plan for it. And he's going to use you in it by the grace of God. All I know is that in this redemptive plan, man, we cannot be biased with who God's going to use. God will use who God uses. God will bless who God blesses. God will move through who he moves through. But all I know is that there's a fight. New Testament calls it fight the good fight of faith. Not fight the good fight for it, but of it. And sometimes we have to fight with our own emotion. We've got to fight with our own experience. Sometimes we've got to fight with our own idealism. But let me tell you, the Word of God will break through all of that. Until we find a real freedom in the Holy Spirit, real freedom in the life and power of God. That's how God wants you and me to live, free. Let's all stand up, shall we? So I know and you know, and we're on the receiving end already, that God has a redemptive plan for our personal lives. The Bible says he's redeemed us, he's paid for us. But there's a greater redemptive plan that we're part of. In the sense that we're taking that redemptive purpose into our families, into our marriages, into our households, into our people groups, into our cultural groups, and even cultural groups that are not our cultural groups. That God has purpose for you and for me to be part of that redemptive plan for society. Whether it's in Horsham or Crawley or Worthing or wherever it is that you're from, you're part of God's redemptive plan. I can tell you a few answers to a few questions. First one is God wants you to succeed. Not in your plan, but in his plan. He wants you to succeed. Why? Because when somebody like you and me succeeds, it's got to be God. I mean, look at ourselves. I mean, come on. When people like us succeed and we respond by saying, thank you, Jesus. Not only do people see someone who lives for Jesus, but they hear him. Yeah. So let's just close our eyes a minute. And let's just begin to thank God that, man, we are redeemed today. Yeah. Come on, we're redeemed people today. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are redeemed today. We've got a destiny and a future today, and it's awesome, it's great. It's God designed and God fulfilled. Oh, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. That God has given everything to those who deserve nothing at all. That's you, that's me. And then also, let's thank God that we are in the center of His redemptive plan for our households, our families, our towns, our cities, our nations. Don't look outside of God for an answer. You'll find lots of suggestions. You'll find endless opinion. You'll find a lot of baseless thought. But you inquire of God, you get the solution. You get it. You get it. Even if the question is, how do we feed 5,000 people with nothing? He says, find a bit and I'll touch it and see what happens. This dead person's been wrapped up for 3 days. It's a bit stinky, Jesus. He says, move the rock away and see what I can do. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Right, that's a part of the power of the redemptive plan of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you that today we live in your redemptive plan and purpose. Father, we want to strengthen ourselves in you. We want to encourage ourselves in you. You are our strength and our shield. You are our health and our life and our vitality. You are our hope and our destiny. You are our success. Hallelujah. You are our victory. You are our breakthrough, Jesus. And I thank you that right across this room, you are orchestrating, setting up personal breakthroughs. In all kinds of areas, in all kinds of ways. I want to thank you that you are the Lord of breakthrough. Breakthrough in our own world, in our own realm. You're the breakthrough over our families. You're the breakthrough over the world that you put us into, Lord. Come on, let's begin to respond to God right now. Oh, we want to celebrate Him this morning. Come on, keep the clapping going. Come on, clap your way happy a little bit this morning. Oh, come on, let's celebrate Him this morning. Oh, He's the Redeemer. Oh, yes, Jesus, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Hallelujah. Is anybody happy in the room this morning? Oh, is anybody full of joy in the room this morning?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.